Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel according to John, chapter 14. The Gospel according to John, chapter 14. And if we can read the words that we have, beginning at verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, nor as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And we wish to consider the words that we have at the beginning of verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Lord Jesus, as here intimated, that he is to leave his disciples, that he would ascend, that he would be taken, that he would be put to death. And he spoke certain things to them while he was yet present with them, but that he would not completely leave them alone, but the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father would send in his name, he would teach them. And then he speaks of something of the fruit of his leaving, that he would not leave them comfortless, but that he would give them peace. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Now, we live in a day when there is little peace. You hear of wars and rumors of wars. You hear continually of nations where there is bloodshed, where there is terrorism. There is no peace. And you might think to yourself that we live in strange times. But of course, while every time is unique and is strange to its own place, the same can be said down through generation after generation. Man may seek to bring a peace that would bring him back to the Garden of Eden, going back to the First World War, where he thought that this was the war to end all wars. Yet there is no peace. The Lord Jesus here gives to his disciples and says to his disciples that he leaves them peace. And the very peace that he gives them is his own peace. And that he will give that peace, not as the world will give it, but he gives it a different type of peace, even given in a different way. Now, we want this evening to think upon what that peace is. What is the peace that the Lord Jesus here speaks of when he says, peace I leave with you? What does he mean when he says he will leave peace? And secondly, we want to see something of what it means when he says, not as the world giveth unto you. Not as the world. The false peace that the world may strive after, that is not the type of peace that the Lord Jesus Christ was to leave. And thirdly, we want to think upon the gospel of peace. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that will direct our feet in the ways of peace. First of all then, let us ask the question, what is the peace that the Lord Jesus Christ here speaks of? Well, when you come to the scripture, you will find that there is a double aspect to this peace. It is a peace that is left and a peace that is given. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. It is a peace that is left and a peace that is given. And there is a twofold aspect to peace. There is, first of all, reconciliation with God. Do we know what it is this evening to have that peace that the Apostle speaks of when he writes in the Gospel of Romans, chapter 5, where there he says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." There is a peace with God. It is a peace that is the opposite of alienation, being alienated from God, being at enmity with God. There is now peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that, if you like, is the objective aspect of peace. It is peace that comes through justification by faith. There is now a judicial declaration of peace between the sinner and God. That is peace that comes through reconciliation. It is peace that comes through justification. It is objective peace. But there is another kind of peace that is very much associated with it, but yet is a different aspect. It is subjective and experimental. And the Apostle Paul speaks of that in the epistle to the Philippians, where he says in chapter 4, "And be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." This is not so much the aspect of reconciliation, which is the opposite of alienation. This is more tranquility and peace, which is the opposite of tumult and being disturbed in soul. It is that experimental aspect of, through the Lord Jesus Christ, experiencing the peace of God within the heart. Do we know what it is? Not only to have that judicial aspect of peace pronounced, but also to experience that peace which the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of, and most likely and without doubt in John's Gospel here, when he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." He is speaking of that comfort that the believer has in this world. It is peace with God. It is peace with our brethren. It is peace with one another. It is to know Christ as our peace. Now, when we read here of what the Lord says, "Peace I leave with you," the Lord Jesus Christ has left his will and testimony, his testament. It is as though as he goes on his way towards Calvary, he gathers his disciples, just the way as Jacob had Joseph and his children at his bedside. And he gave to them a blessing. He left his last will and testimony to them. And it wasn't so much temporal as spiritual. And here the Lord Jesus Christ, as he has his disciples with them, and he says that he must go from them, he leaves his last will and testimony. And what is that last will that he leaves? We are told that he will offer his soul to the Father. His soul will be given unto the Father. His body will be given to Joseph, that it may be laid decently in the grave. The clothes that he wore will be taken from him and distributed among the soldiers. His own mother will come to the foot of the cross, and he will give her into the care and the keeping of the disciple. But what about those who were with him, representing the Church of Christ in every age? What does he give to them in this his last will and testimony? He says, "My peace I leave with you. I give it unto you." Here is the will and testimony. The inheritance that the church receives at the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a peace that the wicked cannot have. The Bible tells us there is no rest for the wicked. There is no peace for the wicked. There is no such rest for the wicked. It is a rest and a peace that the world cannot give. It is a rest and a peace that the wicked cannot have. When we come to Psalm 37, "But by inheritance the meek, the earth, the meek ones shall possess, and they also shall delight themselves in an abundant peace." It is the meek ones. The world cannot give it. The godless do not know it. But here is a peace that is first of all the peace of God. Do you remember Gideon in the Old Testament? He built an altar. And when that altar was built in Judges chapter 6, he built an altar to Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, the Lord of peace. Here is that peace which God himself has ordained. Here is the peace that God himself has established. Remember, even in the Old Testament, when we are speaking, when speaking of the gospel, we are told that it is God himself who places this gospel of peace into the mouth of his ministers. Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Comfort ye, peace. Here is the peace that God himself, the Lord of peace, has set before us. And that peace the apostle himself applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. When not only the Lord himself says it is my peace, but the apostle, when he writes, he is able to say, "He came and he preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh." The Lord Jesus Christ says, "I give you peace. I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." It was the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. How did the Lord Jesus Christ, what peace did the Lord Jesus Christ have when he was in this world? The Bible tells us that he was a man of sorrows and he was acquainted with grief. We are told that right from the very moment that he was born into this world, the hand of the sword was against him. That even Herod would slay this child. They came and they reviled him and they spat upon him. And they turned from him. But yet he says, "My peace I give unto you." What is that peace? It is surely the personal peace and the comfort that the Lord Jesus Christ himself enjoyed as he did the will of the Father. as he in all things obeyed his Father. What peace he had, and what peace there was between himself and the Father. There may have been that which was outwardly against the Lord Jesus Christ, but through it all, and through every single aspect of it, there was written over his life not only obedience, but peace with God. Peace. Peace. At all times in control, and in all times content with the will of the Father. Oh, you see him in the garden. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will. Thy will be done, and I will be content. I will be content. Peace I leave with you, my peace. Not only that peace which speaks of reconciliation with God, but the peace of heart that flows from reconciliation with a holy God. But you see, if you see what this peace is, let us also see what it is not. Not the peace, not as the world gives, give I unto you. What shallow peace the world will bring before us. What shallow peace. What false, unsatisfying peace the world will lay at our feet. People talk about peace. They set up United Nations, and as one man says, as they sit round the United Nations, they all sit there and they're armed to the teeth. They're armed to the teeth. I give you peace, he says, not as the world gives. Go back to the Old Testament, to Ezekiel. And you don't even need to go out into the world. Come into Ezekiel in his own day and the false prophets. Ezekiel chapter 13, and what was their cry? Peace, peace. When there was no peace. The Chaldeans were at the door. And they cried out that all would be well. Very soon there will be terms of peace between ourselves and the Chaldeans, and everything will be fine. But God says, there's no peace. No peace. The prophet says, you have no basis upon which to build such peace. And what was true in the prophet's day is equally true upon our own day. They were building that peace upon a foundation of sand. When they came to the walls of Jerusalem, they thought to themselves they could plaster up with untempered mortar the walls. Didn't matter, all would be well. But they were building upon a foundation of sand. And the Lord's people were seduced. Israel outwardly was seduced. They were seduced by the false prophets. And they discovered that there was no peace. They discovered that they were overrun. That simply covering over the cracks was insufficient. They had no basis and no foundation for their peace. And is that not true equally today of so many in our own day and generation? They cry, peace, peace, where there's no peace, because there is no foundation for their belief. There is no solid foundation upon which they are building, not only for time, but for eternity. And they think that there will be peace. And just like Israel of old, the Chaldeans, everything will be all right. But there's no foundation. It's building upon sand. Building upon sand. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I give you peace, not as the world gives. That cries, peace, peace, where there is no peace. But here is peace that has a solid and glorious foundation, because he himself is our peace. He himself is the peace of his people. No wonder then how we ought to welcome the gospel, which is the gospel of peace. How we ought to welcome the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the gospel of peace and reconciliation. It is the gospel that will not, that will first of all discover that peace for us. In Romans chapter 3, in verse 17, we are told of the darkness that there is, and the way of peace, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The way of peace have they not known, and they do not, and they cannot know. But it is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that directs our eyes and brings light where there is darkness. Brings light where there is darkness. It not only directs our feet in the way of peace, but it revives the soul. The gospel itself, which brings peace and which places into the hands of the sinner imprisoned and condemned, is laid into his hands through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace, which revives the soul. It brings life, spiritual life where there is death. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But not only does it discover this peace and direct our thoughts in it, but it directs us in the way of peace. Directs us in the way of peace. Sets our feet upon the course of peace. Think of the psalmist, Psalm 119. And that psalm that we will conclude with later this evening, Psalm 119, and verse 105, thy word is to my feet a lamp and to my path a light. I sworn have and I will perform to keep thy judgments right. It is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that directs our feet in the path of peace. That peace which passeth all knowledge and all understanding. That peace that the world itself knows nothing of. And that brings us not only to see that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God which brings to us that word, brings us the knowledge of how is the way of peace and the benefits that flow from this peace. We saw, I think, a fortnight ago or 2 or 3 weeks ago when we considered the Lord Jesus Christ with the loaves and the fishes. He took something that was very little, and he didn't despise the hands that gave him these fish. But he gave to the disciples who distributed to those who were sitting in that place. And we noted how every single aspect was taken account of. Not just that there was a young lad there with loaves and fishes, but even the very fact that the crowd had grass to sit on. Green grass. You would pass that by, but the Lord made provision for even those who sat and fed from the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, that even there was green, almost lush grass there that 5,000 plus women and children could sit in ranks in order, that everything would be done decently and in order, and that in their great need, here were 5,000, and that by all other accounts it was impossible that even Andrew himself and Philip themselves, even the apostles, the disciples themselves said, what can so few things do? A handful of fish and some bread. What is that among so many? But the Lord gave such a blessing that every one of them were filled. And there was no waste. The baskets were gathered in. And so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ and the way of peace. You may tonight be in the very turmoil of conviction of sin. You might be thinking to yourself, it is impossible for you that there would be peace with God. It is impossible for you that you would be reconciled unto a holy God until you come to the Scripture and you discover that what is impossible with man is possible with God. That there may be peace through Him who is the Prince of Peace, who says, I leave peace with you and I give it to you. Not as the world gives you, will I give it unto you. Here is one who gives peace to his people. Peace with God, peace with one another. And the benefits of that peace set forth and given to his people day by day. How the disciples must have felt when, as the Lord was telling them that they were to go through a mighty trial of tribulation, that he himself was to go to Calvary, and there he was to suffer and die, and they would go through many, many things between now and once again meeting with him. But how glorious it is that through his going by the way of Calvary, through his going down into the very depths of the grave, through his crying out at Calvary's cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Through his going down at Calvary's cross, going through what he had to undertake, even the wrath and the curse of God, that through all of that, he purchased and gained peace for his people. Peace that the world knows nothing of. A spiritual peace that you and I, if we are the Lord's people, may experience through the Spirit of Christ. That even in the midst of a world where dark things may come our way, yet we may know peace. And a peace that will not only see us in time, but when the very last enemy, which is death itself, approaches, there is a peace. Think of Jacob. Think of Jacob on his dying bed. Death is facing him. He knows that it is coming. It is not that he dies in a moment of time, but the Lord prepares him and gives him grace to confront even the last enemy. And is it not the case that the Lord may not give us grace tonight to face something that we may not have to face until some time in the future? But the Lord gives grace to his people. He will comfort his people in the midst of an evil world. He will bring to them that peace and that rest, which is but a foretaste of that heavenly rest, where all trial and tribulation may be taken away, where there will be no tears, and there they will know an eternal rest with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Prince of Peace. They will know peace everlasting. My friend, this evening, do you know what it is to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? Sins forgiven, sins washed away. Do you know that first peace, which is peace by being justified by faith? We now have peace with God. And do you pray that you would experience that peace in your life, day by day? A peace that the world knows nothing of, but a peace which is unsearchable, is spiritual, and it is a peace that is brought through our Lord Jesus Christ.